Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
We had a fun night last night at the Marlowe's in Brookhaven, and somebody said something kind of funny to me, talking about all the rivals that Georgia has. He said he felt like he had enough hate to go around for them all, that obviously around here we've made a big push that good Georgia fans are supposed to be Gator haters, and while that's true, when it comes to a sporting sense, there's still some hate left over, so to speak, for another rival, and that is the Auburn Tigers. Here on our desk today, our unofficial mascot, Eddie, he's got his Gator hater sign still as per usual. But he's also sporting the Deep South's oldest rivalry sign here as well. He's getting ready for that one. Excited about Georgia-Auburn on Saturday. And the good news for Georgia here, and by the way, it's good to have you on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger, but the good news for Georgia is, in addition to vanquishing a rival, in addition to helping send Auburn in that spiral of misery by another defeat to the Georgia Bulldogs, a game that fan base has circled and that fan base is confident about. The team is rested up. They've had a week off, and they've heard all the talk about how intense the atmosphere is going to be, how loud the crowd's going to be. Auburn's ready to go. If Georgia wins this game on Saturday, it's obviously a big, big boot of disappointment for the Auburn Tigers. But in addition to that, what also stands to be gained by Georgia is a chance to silence some haters. So kind of before we get into the Georgia-Auburn thing and how the pathway for Georgia to win this game, let's talk about some haters here just for a moment. Let's talk about Joel Klatt, college football gadfly, college analyst for Fox, who was whining and complaining this week about the fact that Georgia is number 4 in the college football playoff rankings instead of, let me check my notes here for a second, Minnesota out of the Big Ten. Here is Joel Klatt, unhappy about the current state of the playoff rankings and the fact that the SEC is so prominently represented, Georgia included here. Here's Klatt.
They clearly were trying to point to, hey, Georgia has a better win than Alabama. So regardless of how good the loss is to LSU, we're going to put Georgia over Alabama. The problem is you have to go down 4 spots for the committee to find an undefeated team with, by the committee's own rankings, the second best win of the season for teams in the top 10. So I'm struggling then. So like, what are you trying to tell me? It's better to lose to South Carolina than it is to be undefeated? I don't follow this logic.
So, I mean, to me, this is the classic, even though Klatt doesn't do this on TV, this is the classic cable TV sports argument where you kind of pretend to be oblivious of obvious facts because the obvious facts hurt the point you're trying to make. Klatt says, wait a second, you're saying Georgia has a better win, and he used that word in the singular, better win than Alabama, so they're ranked ahead. But what about Minnesota, who he says has a better win than Georgia right now because it beat Penn State? I don't get the logic, Joel Klatt says, as if he's straining to try to understand all of this, when the actual logic in all of this could not be more simple. It's not that Georgia has a better win than Alabama. It has better wins. It has beaten Florida on a neutral field, and it's beaten Notre Dame. That is better than anything that Alabama can bring to the table, and Georgia's done it twice. And the same thing's true for Minnesota here as well. Minnesota may have beaten Penn State, but Georgia has 2 wins right now, a chance to get a 3rd against Auburn on Saturday, and that is better than anything the resume for a team like Minnesota is going to bring to the table. So all already kind of putting a hater in his place, and on the field against Auburn on Saturday, Georgia has a chance to do that even more. And you know what? I'm actually going to say something that's going to surprise you here for a moment. The person who makes the best case on all this, at least this week, is someone we wouldn't normally tout, especially on a week like this. I'm talking about Auburn coach Gus Malzahn, who in his radio program last night, vouching for himself, said something that I think is undoubtedly true. And weirdly, here on this day before the Deep South's oldest rivalry is renewed, Georgia fans are going to find themselves agreeing with Gus Malzahn on this. Let me show you the tweet from someone who happened to be listening to the show. AU Goldmine tweets out that, looking at the big picture, Auburn's Gus Malzahn observes, and here's the quote, "We've played a real schedule. Some of these teams haven't played any games like we have." That is Gus Malzahn on his radio program from last night. I say good for Gus and good for the Georgia fans who've stepped up and said, hey, Georgia's not going to apologize for being at number four, nor is going to apologize for the loss to South Carolina. The fact of the matter is, if Georgia wins on Saturday against Auburn, we'll have collected another elite win here this season. And Malzahn's right. Don't think that Auburn's not an elite team because it's already lost twice, given the schedule it's played. The kind of schedule that teams like, you know, Clemson and to up to this point Minnesota and other teams like that simply cannot match. And this is not SEC bias, by the way, because you can look at the recent history of the college football playoff and see lots of losses forgiven over the way over the years, whether it be Oklahoma's lost to Iowa State, Clemson's lost to Pitt. You know, you can think, you know, Ohio State's lost to Virginia Tech back in 2014. There have been lots of losses in the playoff era that have been forgiven because of the way the team played the rest of the way. And Georgia's win on Saturday against Auburn will likewise do the same thing to its loss in South Carolina, render it completely irrelevant, a bygone relic of a past tense conversation. It might as well have happened to a different team because of the resume that Georgia will have built since then. Hard to explain the South Carolina loss, but certainly no explanation needed for the resume that Georgia will put together if it beats Auburn on Saturday. But let me give you one more from Clatt here before we kind of turn the page, because later on in this same commentary, he actually gave the whole store away. He gave the big reveal for what the college football arguments this time of year are all about. Listen to him here and see if you can hear it.
This is why I'm going to continue to say these rankings are somewhat of a sham and made for TV, which is fine. I understand it. We're on the ratings game. However, without a concrete criteria, this is what it's going to be. And it's not going to be fixed. That's why I've always proposed the, hey, we should make it, you have to win your conference in order to go.
So now we find out what it's all about. A guy who works for Fox, which televises Big Ten games, Pac-12 games, and Big 12 games, all of a sudden he wants conference champions to make the playoff. Obviously he does, because that benefits the conferences that play on his network. He doesn't like the SEC because the SEC has the best talent, plays the best games. There aren't very many conferences around the country that could produce what Georgia and Auburn are going to produce on Saturday, a big-time showdown, huge national showcase there on CBS. Frankly, this is outside the SEC jealousy. It's outside the SEC jealousy of the prestige of the games, the talent on the field. And when Georgia earns a win on Saturday, not only does it take a big step over a rival in doing so, it also potentially shuts up some haters like Joel Klatt. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented today by Kroger. Good to have you with us, no matter how you get to us today. Live on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. We're on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and we're available as a podcast wherever you find them, including the world-famous DogNation.com. And really glad to have you with us today. And I want to give you a special word here from our friends at Kroger in just a moment. You know, one of the things that Kroger wants to give you this holiday season is some of your time back. That means getting ready for Thanksgiving, something like that. You can get your holiday meal prepared fresh without any kind of heat or prep time with the help of Kroger and the Home Chef. Now, listen to what you get here. You get a ham or turkey, all the sides, including stuffing, rolls, casserole, mashed potatoes, pumpkin pie, and more, and it is all just $70. You can order online or on the phone, or you can stop by your local Kroger and visit the deli and order in person there. But if you want to get this done by Thanksgiving, you got to go by November 25th. So keep that in mind as you get ready for the holiday season. All right, let's turn our attention now, and let's get ready to preview what's going to happen on the field for Georgia and Auburn on Saturday. And we'll do so as we go around the doghouse, presented today by Merriweather and Tharp. And one of the things that you may know about me over the course of the long haul, if you've been a regular listener to this program for a while, I am a bit of a natural contrarian. I've kind of always been that way. When everybody thinks one thing, for some reason, I'm just sort of drawn like a magnet to the other side, because a lot of times in life, that just sort of ends up being the right way to be. Not going with the masses, but going against the masses, kind of charting your own course. Some of the most successful people in life ever have kind of zigged when others were zagging, kind of gone upstream. And as you get ready for the Georgia-Auburn game on Saturday, I kind of find myself once again gravitating towards kind of a contrarian point of view on this. And it's not just as a way of just trying to be different. And I don't think it's a way of me saying, hey, everybody, look at me. My opinion is different than almost everybody else's. I don't think it's that either. I think this is my natural, authentic viewpoint, to the extent that that's even possible to know one way or another. Now, I've said all week long that this is a tough, hard-fought, close game for Georgia. It's going to be a challenging game to win. I expect it to go down to the wire. And I think from that standpoint, I'm probably with most of you who seemingly think the same thing, and frankly, most of my brethren in the media who kind of also seemingly think the same thing. But The closer we get to game time, the one area in which I kind of find myself standing a little different than some of the other people is this idea that this is going to be a very low-scoring game. And if you care about over-unders in Las Vegas or our friends at MyBookie, something like that, the total number of points expected to be scored during a game. You know, previous Georgia-Auburn games in the Kirby Smart era, the total was set somewhere near 50. This game, at one point in time, I think it was at like 44 or so, got bought down, meaning a lot of action came in on the under to the point where it was at 41. I think it settled at 42 or, you know, your mileage may vary. You should check with your own sources to decide that if you're going to put some action down on that game. But the growing consensus, bettors, fans, media, is this is going to be a much lower scoring game than typical Georgia-Auburn games have been expected to be, and that both these offenses are going to sputter, both these defenses are great, and this is like a 2017 or a 14-10 or some sort of game like that. And obviously there's plenty of statistical reasons to suggest that's true. But I just sort of have a hunch on this one. I just sort of have a hunch that it may take a couple more points to win this game than the average fan expects it to. I have a little more respect for the Auburn offense than maybe some people do. And I understand why those that don't, I understand why they're that way. Because Auburn struggled at Florida, struggled a little bit against LSU. I get all of that. I'm just not quite so sure this won't be a slightly different version of the Auburn offense, starting off with because of the fact that Booby Whitlow, a very impressive Auburn running back, healthier now than he's been for large measure earlier in the season. This week, Kirby Smart talked about the Auburn running back Whitlow. Here's what he said.
There's a big difference. He's a stud SEC back. He's physical. He's hard to bring down. I mean, he makes their run game tick because their run game is meant to be powerful downhill and bruising. Young kids come in and done a good job of that, but Whitlow is a different maker when it comes to that.
So listen, I mean, I think a guy like that, the presence of a guy like that, I think is a little bit different kind of a challenge for the Georgia rush defense, which has been great at stopping the run all year long, but this is just a little bit more difficult team to deal with there. Kirby also mentions the freshman quarterback Bo Nix. We've already heard from Kirby this week, maybe throwing a little more praise Nix's direction than the average fan expected to hear. Smart also went into some more detail this week about what really is going on with Nix in that offense, comparing him to the quarterback that Gus Malzahn's had the last couple of years in Jarrett Stidham. Smart says that Nix is a little bit different, but still potentially formidable to deal with. Here's more of Kirby on the Auburn offense.
It's different. They allow Nix to do more with the run game. I mean, he pulls it. He makes good decisions. He very rarely is wrong when it comes to, you know, pulling the ball. And he runs the offense well. You can tell that it's more what Gus has been used to, as opposed to Stidham, who probably was more of a passer, but he was a good athlete too.
Yeah, I mentioned yesterday on the show that if you look at the stats long-term for Malzahn since becoming a head coach there at Auburn 2013, when facing Kirby Smart defenses, hasn't always gone well. Maybe it hasn't even gone well the majority of the times. But a couple of times, Malzahn has seemingly found a game plan that worked. Certainly the last time these two teams played in Jordan-Hare Stadium, that was the case. So I think the Georgia defense being on guard, or maybe even Georgia fans being on guard, for a slightly better performance from the Auburn offense that you expect, I think that's at least a consideration that you should have going into the game on Saturday, which obviously at that point in time puts more pressure on the Georgia offense to step up and do the same thing. And frankly, as good as the Georgia defense has been, I don't think that Georgia can expect to win this game on Saturday without some big plays offensively. And I think those big plays offensively, I think they're going to come by embracing what this game is. You know, I started off the show today by saying the showcase between Georgia and Auburn, 3:30 p.m. on CBS, you know, what I think of as a top 10 level team in Auburn, what is certainly a top 10 team in Georgia. This is the kind of game that most of the conference in college football just simply cannot provide. Now, you can argue how many games in the SEC will be bigger than that this season, but in terms of what most of the conferences provide, this is as big as it gets for college football. And I think embracing a big game mentality is one of the ways that you win here. I think embracing the fact that this is a huge stage and that legacies are constructed by what you do in a spot like this, I just think that's a reality that it's better to embrace in order to play well in this spot. And the good news is Georgia has a player who seemingly is at least one player. There's probably plenty, but one I want to highlight here for a moment that is very comfortable in this role. It is Lawrence Cager, who is huge against Florida and been crucial every time that Georgia's needed him this year. And to talk about the Georgia offense here for a moment, Smart threw some compliments his way this week.
He's very mature. He's older. He's been around. I mean, he's played in big games at Miami. So maturity is the biggest thing, is that the moment's not too big for him. And he's not one of these guys that gets overwhelmed with playing on a big stage. I think he was kind of made for it. He likes it. He embraces it.
Yeah, I don't think you could say anything any better about a guy who's about to play in a big game. Oh, Lawrence Cager embraces this. Lawrence Cager wants to be in this spot. And as I said before, I think there are potentially other Georgia guys who could say the same thing about. I think that George Pickens has the look of being a guy like that. I think Jake Fromm, given the fact that he's been in these kinds of games before, you'd probably say the same thing about him. This is a game on Saturday, even though the defenses are as hyped as they are, I think this game actually ends up being a little bit more about offense than maybe the media has given it credit for coming into the game, which means whoever embraces the big game moment, whoever embraces the role of being, I got to step up in those moments, I think has a much better chance of winning. So assuming that Cager is healthy, he's a guy that you're really happy to have on your team in a game like this. It's Around the Doghouse presented by our friends at Merriweather and Tharp. And obviously, the divorce process is a scary thing. You hope you never go through it. Many of you imagine that you never will. But odds are someone listening right now is either going through this now or maybe on the verge of going through this soon. First of all, I'm so sorry if that is your story right now, but I do have some good news. You can feel better again. You can be made whole again. Your family can be put back together again. Your finances can kind of be put back together again. Things can get better, but not by going it alone. You want to trust my friends at Merriweather and Tharp, your source for Georgia divorce. You can call them for a free telephone consultation and really get in touch with all the free resources that Merriweather and Tharp provides to you to help make you understand the divorce process and how it's a solution that's best for you in your specific circumstances. Merriweather and Tharp have been through this thousands of times. They can use that expertise to help make you whole again. So please check them out online at theatlantadivorceteam.com. It's theatlantadivorceteam.com. That will get you in touch with my friends at Merriweather and Tharp. All right, it's Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger here today. We'll hear from Kirby Smart more on our program before we're done here. We'll also preview some of the other big games around the country here this weekend. But for now, let's talk a little recruiting. Let's say hello to Jeff Sintel.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Looking forward to being with Jeff Sintel on the plains here this weekend for Georgia and Auburn. Cannot wait for that one. And, you know, Jeff, as I say hello to you, I can't help but think about some of the things you've written at DogNation.com here this week. The homegrown series has just been, you know, fantastic. And obviously a couple of the ones that have popped here this week, hard not to notice guys like Richard LeCount, guys like Tay Crowder. And you can read the Crowder story up at DogNation.com here right now. Hard not to think about how, you know, these veteran guys in the Georgia defense, these homegrown talents, if you will, could play a huge role in how Georgia gets it done on Saturday against Auburn. I just spent a lot of time talking about, you know, guys who embrace the big game attitude on the offensive side of the ball may help Georgia win. The experience of guys like Crowder and LeCount, guys you've written about as part of the homegrown series, the fact that they've been around a lot, they've seen a lot of football. Crowder was pivotal in the Rose Bowl, for instance. LeCount's been one of the leaders in this team dating back to his freshman season of 2017. You need a heavy dose of that for a game like what Georgia's about to play against Auburn. And the fact that these are so-called homegrown talents, I think for the Georgia fan, just makes it that much more enjoyable. Isn't that true?
Hey, Brandon, good morning, sir. Thanks for that kind plug there on the homegrowns, man. You're awfully good at that, my man. So, you know, to me, obviously Saturday in Columbus, and I mean, excuse me, in Auburn, on the plains, or on the plains, depending on whether you interpret that 1770s poem a certain way, which inspired Auburn being as lovely as village on the plain. Really, it comes down to a physical contest. And I'm not talking about the one that broke out last night between the Browns and the Steelers. And in one of those, it really depends on when you look across both starting lineups. Yeah, they're going to have their flashy players and their skill guys. But really, it's about who has more grown, mature, physical men. I mean, Brandon, let's just make this a PGA metaphor right here, a PG metaphor, excuse me. I mean, if you've got a young man arm wrestling with another young man that's arm wrestling, and one of those is 19 and the other one is 22 or 21 years old, who usually should win? And that's a guy like Richard LeCount in his junior year. That's a guy like, you know, you bring up Justin Young and Michael Barnett and Tay Crowder especially. I mean, we wrote that story because, you know, we want to go beyond, take the helmet off, and really identify these young men as men and people, and not just the second leading tackler on the Georgia team. But, I mean, that story has got to get you, because there was a time in Tate Crowder's life where he could have said, I've been at Georgia 2 years. I've played in one game. I've swapped positions. Remember, he was rated as a wide receiver coming out of high school. Almost went to Georgia Southern. He gets to Georgia. They think he's a running back. This was the number 1,858 player in the country when he came out of high school. Number 175 at Georgia as a receiver who has now come all the way, even in the midst of a really tough hardship, a personal loss. He's come all the way, Brandon.
Yeah.
But not just being that old guy that's finally good enough to start and play for Georgia. He's one of the 12 best linebackers in the country. That's the recognition the Butkus Award gave him this year. That, folks, is a phenomenal career climb at Georgia.
Yeah, you know, and when I'm reading these stories with Crowder and LeCount, the one thing that keeps coming to mind is, and I said the same thing about Cager before you joined us on the other side of the ball, these are guys who I believe want it on Saturday. They kind of want the fight. And I don't mean like Myles Garrett. I mean, you know, the between the whistles, between the white lines fight that's going to be going on. I think they kind of want that. Jeff, I don't know that feeling and that vibe is present in all of college football, where a lot of really good teams won't play a close game. A lot of really good teams won't go into a hostile road environment. A lot of really good teams won't play against an opponent who thinks they are just as good as you are, and they're going to be talking trash to you during the game. They're going to be trying to make you look bad during the game. They're going to be having game plan with you, watching film on you for every day from the last 2 weeks, trying to exploit whatever weakness that they think you have. That's an anxious environment for a lot of players, and in this kind of all-star game culture that we live in, where, you know, some of these guys, you know, are just not playing in intense games like this. You know, I think you want guys who want this. You know, Richard LeCount, my belief is he does want this. Tate Crowder, my belief is he does want this. Cager, who's not a homegrown guy, but, you know, kind of I was mentioning before you came on the show, I think they want this. Not only are these guys comfortable in a big game, I think they kind of seek out the big game. And I've been saying it all week long, Jeff, that we talk about, hey, the kind of mental toughness needed for a game like this, and Kirby's talked about composure, and I get composure, and that's an important part of this game. But there's another part of the mental fortitude necessary to win a game that's got nothing to do with composure. It's got to do with being okay, being comfortable, at ease in a pressure-packed situation. With this is no Dog Nation invasion. This is going to be hostile environment. This is going to be you know, their fans not selling their tickets to Georgia fans, at least for the most part. This is going to be a stadium booing you and cheering when you do bad. And I think guys like Cager and LeCount are fine with that, and that's one of the reasons why, speaking as a fan here for a moment, I'm glad to have them on the team. Georgia goes to Auburn tomorrow.
Well, Brandon, that's the way to dial that one up. I mean, you can't say it much better than this is what these young men come to the SEC to play in. And you know, there's lots of examples, but folks, when Auburn is going good and 7-2 and a top 15 program is going well for the Tigers, they're as good as any venue in college football. You can break out anything at LSU and at Georgia, the cocktail party. That stadium will be bending a little bit when they get that swag surf going and everything else. And when you talked about those physical men, Brandon, that's the difference in why they would come to a Georgia and to play in a Southeastern Conference. They want meaningful games. I mean, this is like going in the weight room and the strength coach saying, okay, guys, you only have to put 245s on each side of the bar today. And that might be the case in the ACC with playing a four or five loss team in November in the Atlantic Coast Conference. But when you catch Auburn at home in the SEC West when they're going good, that's about 4 45s on both sides of the bar. And everybody wants to check their oil and line up and find out how good they are. I think Georgia's game plan will be just what it's always been. They're going to try to take away that Auburn ground game, and they want to force Bo Nix into one of those 15-for-35 pass attempt games, much like what everybody tries to do with Jake Fromm, and want to make him throw it 30 times to beat Georgia. And I think a lot of times if you get somebody where they have to throw it 30, 35 times against Georgia, now, this year, what's different than 2017 Georgia and 2018 Georgia? is that's actually playing to one of the strengths of the defense.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I liked your piece with Jalen Kimber, the four-star defense back, the UGA commit, recently minted All-American at the high school level. And in your piece, you kind of described him as underrated, and I think that's a very appropriate word to use. Because let's face it, we do talk about other defensive backs more so than him. I mean, gosh knows, I've talked about an uncommitted defensive back in Keely Ringo far more than I've probably talked about Kimber. That's just kind of what happens is when you get in the fold, sometimes you have a tendency to be overlooked from time to time. But Kimber really is a pretty interesting piece of this 2020 class for Georgia, is he not?
I mean, let's look at it, Brandon. The simple way to say that is before Tyson Campbell, who was, I think, number two overall corner in 2018, and Tyreek Stevenson, number three overall corner in 2019. Yeah, Jalen Kimber sitting at number six overall in the country, and I think he's number 84 overall. And that would have been the best cornerback recruit in ages at Georgia before that. You know, they didn't pick up this guy, Brandon. Your affection and your appetite for bringing in that highly rated top five, top ten corner for Georgia is well articulated yeah. over the years on this program. But I mean, Kimber is a guy. You put him with Ringo, you put him with Stevenson, you put him with guys down the road at Georgia. I mean, the one thing about Kimber that just not only the greedy part of Brandon about he's got a phenomenal wide receiver who's about 6'3", making plays, who's his cousin in the 2021 class, also to think about there. But, you know, when you look at Kimber, this guy is a Nolan Smith, Nick Chubb-type twitchy, sparky athlete. I mean, what he does in the short shuttle and in the 40, sure, he needs to put on about 10, 15 pounds, but Sinclair and the boys who throw down every Thursday can take care of that.
Yep.
He is a guy that you wonder – Georgia going to have guys down the road that can match up with the Jalen Waddle type guys for LSU and Alabama and Clemson that they're always going to recruit. Mr. Kimber out of Texas is one of those guys that can do just that.
Well, you can make a case too, Jeff, and I'll kind of make this quick because I've got a lot of ground I want to cover with you, but you can make a case that defensive back is maybe the most important of your position groups on defense to have a ton of depth with, because while you're rotating a lot of defensive linemen, you're playing a lot of secondary guys, and against a team like LSU, you'll probably have, five on the field for every play. You'll have six a bunch. I mean, Auburn probably played seven at times against LSU a couple of weeks ago. So you got a lot of defensive backs on the field, and, these offensive-minded coaches, the value of the spread formations is they can find the weak link in a secondary. If you've got one, opposing coaches are going to find it. So recruiting as many good defensive backs as you can, and I realize we say some version of this about every position, but now we're talking about defensive backs. Recruiting as many good defensive backs as you can is really, really important.
You know, this is the dynamic, Brandon, for Georgia to recruit for recruiting every fall and every cycle it's kind of a chicken before the egg before the chicken type thing. And what I mean by that is this is the SEC is still a physical run game league, so you got to have the guys in the box to defend teams and to lock down teams to get through the conference schedule and win the division and get to the SEC championship game. But then for those games in December, the SEC championship game, and then whatever happens during the bowl season or the playoffs, you need to have those elite corners, because then you'll face teams that throw it around and spread it out a lot more. So it really forces Georgia to recruit both left and right-handed. And
yep.
I know, Brandon, you and great guests like Mike Griffith and John Stinch have already chopped up the matchup with Auburn 19 ways to Sunday. But everybody points to the Georgia receivers and how beleaguered those receivers are. But you think about Cager, he's up. You think about Pickens, getting better. You think about Demetrius Robertson, continuing to get healthy and make a play or two every game. If you ask me, if you had your receivers on the bus going to Jordan-Hare, or you could have Auburn's receivers on the bus going to Jordan-Hare, I don't think there's quite the disparity, and that's kind of the way Auburn might have to beat Georgia, is with their receiving crew when Georgia tries to take away that run game.
I want to ask Jeff in a moment about Georgia potentially being in the mix for a pretty impressive five-star. We'll do that coming up. But first, quick word about our friends at the Atlanta and North Georgia Building Trades Council. Now, for those of you that do construction work for a living, this is an important organization for you to know about, because the ANG, TBC, is dedicated to the work and economic stability of organized construction workers in North America. More work opportunities they create, better living wages, they protect your benefits. You can also earn while you learn, no tuition apprentice training. I'm talking about as much as $100,000 while you're serving your apprenticeship. They They also offer employer-paid pension and insurance and wages up to 30% higher than non-union workers. And the great news here is it's not just for men. Women encouraged to apply as well. So a couple ways to get in touch. It's GeorgiaConstructionCareers.com. That's GeorgiaConstructionCareers.com. Or give them a call at 404-584-0005. That's 404-584-0005. All right, Jeff, admittedly, I am probably a little bit behind on my 2021 shopping list, I guess. I just have been kind of focused on some of these 2020 names. I probably haven't done as much 2021 talk as I should because we're now only a year away from these guys having the stage to themselves. Been spending a little bit of time lately, though, looking at a guy, and I'm going to butcher this name, and I apologize. Is it Aggie Hall? Is that how you say the wide receiver's name? Is it Aggie? Is that how we call him?
Yeah, I think it's
a guy
Hall, right?
A guy, okay. Yeah,
depends on whether you North Florida or South Florida or South Georgia with the way you want to pronounce that one.
Okay, so we'll go with a guy on that one. A guy Hall. This is a 5-star guy, and you've told us a million times before that when someone tweets they've made a decision, it doesn't always mean commitment. In fact, it may mean breakfast more so than commitment decision. But back in October, he did list Georgia as one of his finalists. He has kind of flirted on Twitter lately about making some sort of decision. Is this 5-star wide receiver from the state of Florida, is this a guy that Georgia's in the mix for right now? And I guess let's kind of open the door on some of this 2021 playmaker talk. Is Georgia in business for Hall, or at least among his chief competitors here, chief suitors for his services?
All right, folks, I need everybody to mark this one down with me right now. The time stamp is Friday, November the 15th, 2019 at 10:34 a.m. If you ever wanted to be on this program when Brandon mentioned Jaden Hazelwood for the first time, or Justin Fields for the first time, or Kendall Milton for the first time, or Eric Gilbert for the first time, there's a lot of them, Brandon, but we're marking that one down.
There you go.
And let me see, Brandon. Let me see if this checks off your box a little bit. Brandon, do you want to talk about a guy that's been to Georgia a lot of times already?
I do like talking
sure
about that.
Do.
Sure I do.
Do you want to talk about a 6'3", 195-pound wide receiver from the state of Florida? How do you feel about that?
I enjoy that as well.
How about a nation number one overall receiver, number 15 overall prospect from the state of Florida as well? How do you feel about that one?
That scratches me where I itch.
And there you have it. There you go, folks. Brandon has his 5-star receiver to think about for a lot. He plays out of Armwood, and this is a guy that Georgia's consistently been in the top group. He said those words in published quotes, Brandon, how Georgia's got that home vibe to him. He feels great. And, you know, that's one of those guys where that 2021 class, and I think Georgia will always be talking about a receiver for this offense, a 5-star receiver, a guy with length. Been busted up, been hurt a little bit this year, hasn't been playing up, you know, every game and every snap, but he's a guy that's going to check every one of the boxes. And, you know, you think about Georgia, who's in contention there. There's Clemson. There's Oklahoma. There's Alabama. It's all the usual suspects there for Georgia going after a wide receiver. He's one of those guys, Brandon. I mean, I know you'd love for the commitment to have came yesterday or next week, but that's one of those that no one's going to stop trying when you're talking about a young man that talented.
Do we know, is this a Coley thing because he's from Florida? Is this a Hankton thing because he's a receiver? What's the nature of his UGA relationship right now? How much do we know about that?
I think it's a mixture of guys, because you got to remember, you got to add that ace recruiter, Todd Hartley, in the mix there as well of the tight ends, because, man, he knows the state of Florida probably better than Rand McNally. When you talk about where he's been covering it for Georgia and then Miami and being a, you know, Rick staff for those years. Now, his primary emphasis is Duval County in Jacksonville, where Georgia picked up the 2023 commitment from Trayon Webb earlier this week. But you got Coley in his South Florida mix. I mean, Coley's just got such a great dynamic. Everybody knows him down there. He was a former high school coach, a former teacher, and then he worked his way up his career as well. I mean, everybody knows Coley down in South Florida. And then you've got Hankton, a guy that can come in and say, I was a guy that made it to the league, didn't make it out of a great school or a great program, and yet, you know, how composed and professional he comes across in living rooms and on the recruiting trail. And he can say he spent 7 or 8 years in the NFL as well to get these guys where they need to go. And, you know, Georgia's going to be losing some receivers, Brandon. They need to reload every year.
Yep.
And, you know, it's kind of funny to think about that, you know, already – you know, the guys that are already going to be sophomores, juniors, you wouldn't expect Demetrius Robertson to still be around by the time the 2021 class rolls around. You wouldn't expect, you know, Tyler Simmons is not going to be around. what's the status of Matt Landers? You know, keep going forward with a lot of those guys, Trey Blunt. But there's a lot of things about the Georgia receiver room where if they just had one or two more guys pop and flash, be capable of, you know, somebody having a game plan or put a really priority good cornerback on them in coverage, that would make this Georgia offense a lot more dangerous to all those big-time defensive coordinators like Kevin Steele this week. I mean, that's another one. I know you probably talked about that meeting a lot, but James Cooley going against Kevin Steele will be probably the most off-the-field, the X's and O's matchup. That's going to be one of the more intriguing ones of the game.
There's a funny comment from the Dog Nation forum I want to mention to you before I let you go. Let me do one more thing before we get there. I don't want you to give the whole store away on this, but a little birdie did tell me there may be some new details coming with Theo Johnson on the pages of DogNation.com. People need to read it for themselves. As I said before, I don't want you to give it away for free necessarily, but any kind of hint you can provide us of kind of where things stand with Johnson, given the fact that, as we spoke about on Before the Hedge is presented by Kroger on Wednesday, Johnson's made the decision to postpone his commitment announcement for now.
Yeah, and it, gosh, it's going to be a great read when I get all that down on the page, but I think it sheds a lot more light about how everybody was thinking about, you know, he went to Penn State and that was a great atmosphere, and some quotes came out that he thought the atmosphere was better than the one he experienced at Georgia, and, you know, how he would be used as a tight end, how he would have no questions or qualms or concerns about how he would be, at Penn State. Now, he shed light on a couple of factors about why he was ready to decide and then why he backed up away from that decision. He talked about, you know, his eventual timeline. He knows it will not go any further than the early signing period in December. He can't see himself being one of those guys that makes the decision, keeps it quiet on the down low until his All-American game at the Under Armour All-American game. He also gave me a pretty clear reason why Georgia is still in it, and maybe the main thing that gives him pause about why Georgia might not eventually be it. So I think it's going to be a good read and a fascinating read with Theo Johnson, despite the fact that, Brandon, get this, you think it's miserable outside the Dog Nation World Headquarters studio today?
Yeah, not pleasant.
I'm going to tell you. Talk about Michigan. Get this, Brandon. They were getting ready to play a city championship game, which is what happens in Ontario, and they couldn't because there were 2 feet of snow on the ground. And the Canadians might be tough. They might like their bacon a certain type of way, but they can't play in 2 feet of snow. Theo told me it was kind of like, you know, when you go to the ocean and you're trying to run through the waves and try to run maybe 10 yards out into the ocean, and it comes a point where you have to just leg kick your knee all the way up, maybe up into your chest, even move at all. That's what they're doing right now. So cold up there, so freezing cold, so much snow on the ground that they've had to postpone the city championship game. That is a different world that he plays football in right now.
It really is. That is a fascinating clashes of cultures in a lot of ways there. Speaking of clashes of cultures, that'll be one on Saturday when Georgia takes on Auburn. Funny comment in the Dog Nation forum, of course, forum.dognation.com, the place to catch up with all that. It's a totally free message board, a great experience to be a part of. Somebody said something kind of funny. You know, our Pella Window postgame show originates from the field after the game at Jordan-Hare on Saturday, but one of the commenters, and I apologize for not remembering to whom to give this credit, said, hey, y'all can't do the post-game show on the field on Saturday because you know that Auburn's going to turn the water hoses on Georgia, harkening back to the Georgia win there in 1986 when Georgia fans were on the field at the end of the game, and indeed the water hoses were turned on. It's worth YouTubing because it's one of the wildest, strangest things in the world. I mean, to think that was what college football, you know, was in my lifetime is kind of crazy. The Auburn fans cheering as Georgia fans were just pelted by the water, and Georgia fans trying to tear up the middle of the field. It's a crazy, crazy spectacle, the 86 Georgia-Auburn game. And one of our forum commenters said that we may be in danger of getting the water hoses turned on us on Saturday. Jeff Sintel, is that a concern for you?
Man, that would be glorious, would it not be, Brandon? I mean, we've had Eddie on our post games before, but if we're broadcasting after that victory and VA's got a big smile on his face and he's doing the shimmy shake before he goes live on air, and then by the end of the time we got Connor pointing us out and we got fire hoses coming our way, wouldn't that be a special memory in Jordan-Hare Stadium about the fire hoses got turned on? I mean, you talk to a lot of Dog people, that's a very memorable game. I know a lot of people that claim that they they stormed the field, and they were part of the ones that got the hoses turned on them a little bit back in their wilder days. And I also know a couple of good buddies that, also claim they got to talk to some of Lee County's finest that night as well. So that was a, quite a night for some Georgia people having fun at Auburn.
Here's what I will say on behalf of Dog Nation and to all UGA fans. I am more than happy to take one for the team tomorrow night. I am more than happy to be doused by the water hoses. I am more than happy to have that befall me. Connor Riley shaking his head no, but this is the kind of team player I am. Who would I be, Jeff, to not to call for mental toughness on the part of the Georgia players, to embrace the big game moment, embrace the intensity of the atmosphere? Who would I be to call upon them to do that if I was not also willing to do that myself? So I say to the water hoses or whatever else, give me your worst, because there will be nothing that will knock the smile off my face if it is Georgia in the winner's circle when this is all said and done tomorrow night.
Brandon, I'm going to make you sound as cool and as clean and as fire as I possibly can for the 2019-2020 viewing class. Georgia will go down to Auburn, and Brandon has podcasted about how he feels Georgia will be ready for the smoke from Auburn, and then that means Brandon will be ready for the water hoses from Auburn if necessary.
That is exactly right. Jeff, we appreciate you being here. Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger. Looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. They're on the plains, and of course our Pella Window postgame show immediately after the game. Jeff, rest up, be ready, get your game face on. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hi, man. See you at Waffle House on Saturday night.
Ha ha.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
All right, as we go cruising around the SEC here, courtesy of our friends at Royal Caribbean, I want to really look at a lot of these big games here this weekend. Before that, though, I got something really fun to tell you about. I love vacations. I need a vacation. I love nothing more than to be celebrating a national championship on one of these beautiful Royal Caribbean cruise ships here coming up pretty soon. It's hard for me to talk about this without thinking about how much I'd love to be on one right now, especially with the weather as miserable as it is in the Atlanta area where we're doing this show from here today. And maybe one of the best ones to be on right now is the all-new, totally reimagined, completely amplified Oasis of the Seas. The amplification process here by Royal Caribbean is fascinating because they take these cruise ships, many of you have been on them before, and they've made them even bigger and even better. For instance, for the Oasis of the Seas, they've added the Ultimate Abyss, which is the tallest water slide at sea. First of all, say that to yourself. Water slide at sea, kind of, it's an amazing thing to be able to see. They got the Playmaker Sports Bar and Arcade, which is just sort of adding to the fun quotient. Music Hall, which kind of gives you a chance to enjoy some live music. They have a Bionic Bar, which is like a robotic bar type thing, which is almost like something you'd see in a Star Wars movie, but that's actually in real life on these Royal Caribbean cruise ships, including the Oasis of the Sea. So make sure you check out RoyalCaribbean.com, and they can get you in touch with a travel advisor and get you ready to go for that. It's RoyalCaribbean.com for more on that, and you can be on your way for an amazing vacation there on a beautiful cruise ship like the Oasis of the Seas. All right, I'm going to roll through a few of these big games of this weekend, give you a quick note on a couple of them. Obviously, we'll do more of this as a part of our R.S. Andrews Go with the Flow of the Dog Nation video channels later on Friday. Let me start with Mississippi State hosting Alabama. Alabama obviously off the loss to LSU, and I like them to bounce back in a big way. If you don't hear anything else I say right now, hear this number. I've told you before that Alabama's not always great as a narrow favorite. I picked LSU last week, and I got that one right. Not always great as a 30-plus point favorite. I picked Tennessee against Alabama. I got that one right. However, there is a sweet spot for the Crimson Tide where they virtually cover every single time. And this is an example of that. Favored here by, we have it at 21. When favored by between 21 and 24 points in the previous 13 instances for Nick Saban, where that's been the case dating back to 2008, Alabama is 11-2 against the spread. You will not find a more significant trend for any game this weekend than that. Alabama absolutely slays as a 21-point favorite, which is what they are on Saturday against Mississippi State. Obviously, the Bulldogs are not very good. That helps the argument here. Alabama rolls on Saturday. They can take that to the bank. Another game where I'm not quite as confident, though, in the favorite is LSU, also on the road against Ole Miss. Now, the numbers here suggest that this should be LSU all the way. Ole Miss was in a similar spot last year as a 22.5-point dog to Alabama, but lost 62-7, so they didn't exactly stand up and play well at Vaught-Hemingway. One of the hallmarks of LSU is how good they've been against the spread. They're 3-0 already this year as a road favorite. They're 3-1 this year when favored by 20 or more points. The only time they didn't cover in that situation was against Northwestern State, and that was like a 50-plus number, so you can't really read too much into that. However, what I'm going to take a flyer on here, and admittedly this is just a flyer, There are reports coming out of Oxford right now that Matt Luke's likely to come back next season. I think he wants to be careful down the stretch to make sure that is indeed the case. Ole Miss is capable of beating LSU because they design a game plan to at least keep it someone close, and for the purpose of point spread players, closer than the 21.5. I think that's a possibility. Ole Miss, for instance, has been pretty good at moving the football on the ground this season. They're 32nd in the country, according to Football Outsiders, in percentage of drives that result in at least one first down. Moving the chains one or two times, even when it doesn't result in points, takes time off the clock, which is a nice thing to have in your back pocket when you're a 21.5 point underdog. So I'll take a flyer here on Ole Miss for this one. I'm going to take Florida to lose to Missouri. Now, I know this is a little bit of a sucker play, just given the fact that Missouri's been very good against Florida. The Tigers, believe it or not, a lot of you are aware of this, they've actually won two straight against Florida and have done so by an average 25 points. That's amazing, right? I just think that, listen, I think that Dan Mullen's got some karma coming his way. I thought he ran up the score last week intentionally late in the game against Vanderbilt. It was not a good look. Obviously, I'm a Gator hater. Our buddy Eddie here on the set is always a Gator hater there as well. So we'll take Missouri here in this game on Saturday and have some fun doing so. Preview of Georgia's next opponent, Texas A&M hosts South Carolina on Saturday. Gamecocks have obviously tailspun? They have tailspun since beating Georgia. But the number to know here is on the Texas A&M side. Sometimes it's kind of hard to tell what kind of job Jimbo Fisher is doing at A&M because he had a lot of hype coming in, and he's played a very tough schedule in each of the last 2 years. But you can know that the overall performance for Fisher is maybe a little bit better than you realize. As a double-digit home favorite, which is what A&M is on Saturday, Jimbo's 7-0 against the spread thus far. So not always beating the teams who are better than A&M, Alabama, Clemson, LSU, teams like that, but certainly taking care of business against lesser competition. A&M's good at doing that, at least in the Jimbo Fisher era. I think they roll against South Carolina and then roll into Athens next Saturday for a pretty big showdown. Let me also, and that, by the way, that's cruising around the SEC, courtesy of our friends at Royal Caribbean. Let me also highlight a couple of these other top national games for a moment. We'll do that with our friends at MyBookie here, and I think there are a couple things worth paying attention to. Let me do Navy-Notre Dame for a minute. Single-digit point spread here in this game. The last two times that Navy has been a single-digit dog to Notre Dame, the midshipmen have won outright. That's the case for them on Saturday. This number's actually fallen. Will not be sold out at Notre Dame Stadium. Bad weather's expected. Apart from the straight-up wins for Navy, they're actually 7-3 against the spread in their last 10 against Notre Dame. I like Navy to cover that because I'm a true patriot. Obviously, you take Navy over Notre Dame. I think they have a very good chance of winning that game outright. I think that Wake-Clemson is going to be an absolute bloodbath in favor of the Clemson Tigers. I like Iowa to beat Minnesota, the undefeated streak. For the Golden Gophers comes to an end on Saturday. Iowa's been really good. Winners of their last six win a field goal favorite or less. So I think there's a lot to like about them in that spot coming up on Saturday. And then I like Baylor to win, probably also straight up, but certainly plus the 10 against Oklahoma. Oklahoma has struggled at times when playing top-flight defenses. Baylor 14th in America, according to the Football Outsiders defensive efficiency metric. That, for me, is enough to keep this one close. They're on the banks of the Brazos River with College Game Day on hand in Waco for Baylor and Oklahoma. And by the way, if you have picks, opinions on games, you can certainly probably do better than me because, let's face it, my picks this season haven't been quite so good. And if you believe that for yourself, then put your money where your mouth is. Get in touch with my friends at MyBookie and start making some action on the opinions you have about college football. And the good news about MyBookie is, in addition to the best player perks in the industry, in addition to the fast, no-hassle payout when you win, they also offer you a big first deposit bonus. You can get like your deposit doubled. You can get up to $1,000. But you've got to act right now to take advantage of that offer, and you need to use the promo code DOGNATION, all one word, spelled the way it's supposed to be, DAWG. Just find MyBookie online. Type that into your browser. Use the promo code DOGNATION. You get a big first deposit bonus. Then after that, you play, you win, you get paid. But you've got to use the promo code DOGNATION at MyBookie. Now, with that said, let's turn our attention back to Georgia-Auburn here for a moment. Let me make a simple point kind of on the way out the door here on this Friday as we get ready for the big clash on Saturday. A lot has been made of the terrific Auburn defensive line, guys like Derrick Brown and Marlon Davidson, and that's with good reason, right? We all believe that Brown is a formidable force. We all believe that's a very difficult matchup for Georgia. In fact, Georgia coach Kirby Smart talked about the challenges that both Brown and Davidson provide a little earlier this week.
you know, they're special. They've been there for a long time. They've done a tremendous job. They're well coached. I mean, I would think in the SEC there's been combinations like that. I mean, I'm not going to say they're the ones that, the only ones that have ever done it, but they are special and they're talented. And we recruited both of them to the wire and didn't get either one. But they're good players.
So, listen, I respect both those guys. I guess one of the things I would think, though, is, and it's understandable from a reputation standpoint why it hasn't been talked up as much, but it would not surprise me on Saturday to see Jordan Davis make an impact for Georgia pretty similar to the impact that Brown may make for Auburn. I thought Connor's piece on Davis this week at DogNation.com, very interesting there in that regard. And I think while Davis is the less hyped of the defensive linemen here in this game in terms of giving Georgia an ability to stop the run, I think he could go a long way towards helping the Dogs do that on Saturday. Here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger, let's also remind you about the big things going on the weekend in Auburn. Of course, Dog Walk, we'll bring it to you live tomorrow. We call it our Kroger Kickoff pregame show. That'll be there around 1:15 p.m. or so. Obviously, it's Central Time Zone in Auburn, but we'll keep it Eastern Time here for the audience here. About 1:15 or so for the Kroger Kickoff. Of course, kickoff at 3:30 p.m. between Georgia and Auburn. Weather expected to be good. High of 61 degrees. 10% chance of rain, so a little better weather this time than the last time the Dogs were at Jordan-Hare, at least right now. And then, of course, after the game, we'll have you there for the Pella Window postgame show. So really good stuff there coming up after the game for the Dogs and the Tigers. And of course, that's our Kroger kickoff here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger. By the way, speaking of Kroger, let me also tell you some fun things about them, because they've got some great stuff coming up for you right now, including free pickup at stores where they're participating here. In time for the busy holiday season, you can shop the Kroger app or the website, and you can place your order, pick it up in person, and it's all there for you with free pickup. So this holiday season, everybody wants more time, and Kroger is certainly providing that for you with free pickup. So check out Kroger.com for more on that. Make your order there on the Kroger app, and you can be whisking in, getting your stuff, and whisking out the door. That is a free service provided by Kroger right now, and it doesn't get any better than that. Okay, so let's get ready to wrap this thing one up tonight. Getting ready for Georgia and Auburn tomorrow. Man, I'm excited about it. You know, I think it's a challenging game for Georgia. I think it's a formidable opponent. But I do believe this is a game that Georgia can win for a lot of the reasons that we've kind of talked about today and throughout the week. You know, leaning on Georgia, what has been a really good defense, getting some big plays from offense, you know, Cager hopefully healthy, DeAndre Swift a chance to be showcased, Jake Fromm comfortable in a spot like this, just given the fact that he's been in a million big games before. It's going to be an amazing game to watch. And when you think about the finish line for Georgia, what is to be gained if the Dogs can win? Another step towards an appearance in the college football playoff, a return to the SEC championship that would clinch the East by winning, can also do so by a Florida loss. It's great to think about. Speaking of Florida losses, there's been a lot of those to Georgia recently. 1,112 days is our Gator Hater Updater. Thanks for being here, Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger.